Okay, welcome back. Talking with James Martinez, the first for you tonight. This story has not been discussed before. Marianne Shenefield passed away, moved on about a year and a half ago, and James is bringing this story forward now. Very honored to have him on doing this. Very appreciative. It's a remarkable story that involved James for 13 years. I've got a whole bunch of different directions to go, but let me ask you a little bit more about this string theory. Now, I just got a note from Frank, and he said it was Brian Greene who introduced the string theory. I don't know. Is that the one you
got
on the phone with her?
That's the one. Yeah, I did.
All right. Now, she said he had it all wrong. He was not correct. What did she say? What was the deal? I would look, he didn't have her tools. The gifts that she was given or somehow saddled with are clearly out of his league, unless he was also contacted and turned on, so to speak. But tell me what she said about it. How did that go? This is very interesting.
Well, one of the things I was always trying to do is interface science and tech people with her. Because what she spent an enormous amount of time trying to do is decipher what it is that she's seen and to make sense of it. She was constantly learning and having to synthesize and analyze all this massive amount of data that she was seeing 24/7. And she always was, those are the main people that she wanted to talk to were those people. Because it was those people that could at least help her interpret what it is that she was viewing.
Oh, fascinating.
So,
yes.
So I happened to get a hold of that guy after searching for quite some time, and I wrote several emails to him, and I finally acquired his telephone number, and he was very polite and willing to do a conference call. And what was difficult was to tell him why, because as you know, and everybody else knows, science guys, you know, they're perceptually handicapped. Can we say it that way?
That's a perfect way to phrase it. Perfect.
Yeah. So we had to deal with that type of reality.
They're very brilliantly myopic, and their ego's involved with this too. It's like a dog with a bone.
Yeah.
It's bizarre.
Absolutely.
But you got it.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah. It's somebody that's got a static fixed perception of reality. So I weaseled my way in with this guy and said, there's somebody that you need to speak to that is a remarkably gifted woman. And I left out the alien UFO stuff. I was just trying to engage him enough to get him on the phone and see what would happen when these two started talking. And I always look forward to this because I wanted her to oust them, to shake them up a little bit, and say something or interpret something that only they knew or
I get it.
Weren't sure about. So I did that, and I got him all on the phone, and she began to small talk with him. When she gets somebody on the phone, what she's doing is she's synthesizing the vocal patterns of their voice. She always asked me to get voice traces for people. Can you just get them on the phone for me for like 5 minutes, say anything? Then let me get a voice trace on them, and then I can work on it. So we had to go through these small pleasantries, and I was really concerned, like, this guy's going to get off the phone. You better get to the point fast, because these guys, you know, do you know who you're talking to? I have a schedule. I don't talk to nobody. I'm busy. So I had to deal with that type of ego, and she started small talking him and started asking him, how do you know that there's strings in your super string theory? And he gave us kind of an eloquent answer to that. I don't recall exactly the words. And then she inserted, well, they're not exactly strings and they're not straight. And she said, do you want me to tell you how they are? And he kind of went, you know, do you know who you're talking to? Type of attitude. Thinks is, well, this is how they look. And then as she describes it, then it got into the problem part. And he was, well, how do you know? And then she says, well, I can see it. I can literally see it. And then the conversation, then I was like, oh, God, how do I keep these two on the phone? Because, you know, you're hitting a wall there because they've decided that she doesn't know what she's talking about. and right. why is he wasting his time? So I have to keep the conversation moving, type of thing. Because I didn't want her to use a psychic skill and say, oh, you know, your left hand is burnt from something you put on the stove or something like that, and have it turn into that. What she was interested in, her main interest was looking into physics and hyperdimensional consciousness as it relates to physics. Uh-huh. And when we were talking on the phone, it got to that point where she can see it, and then she starts to, he cuts her some slack and starts to allow her to speak freely. And then she kept on saying, can you say that last sentence again? And when she was saying the last sentence, see, most people don't realize that when you're speaking, there is a color code, a resonance, a frequency, a shade, all those meta tags associated with the language or interpretation of whatever it is you're saying. So she has to sift through what he is saying in the conversation, take out the parts that palatable for him to even discuss to keep the conversation going, because she's trying to get information for him, from him, while she's trying to figure out what to say to keep him on the phone, because he was always on the borderline of hanging up. And she was saying that it's not exactly right. They're not strings. They're more like curved. They're curved bends that are structured spirals, and they're like that. And then they would kind of fence back and forth. And then I had to help out and kind of interpret, re-say what she said in a different way.
So I understand.
It was a difficult trying thing to do. I did this with many people. He just happens to be at that time, because when he came out with that book, he was all over the press. He had his own TV show. He was getting a lot of press for that. And I thought, this is the guy. I told Marianne, I said, we need to get a hold of that guy, because you need to talk to him. Because she was just like way ahead of everybody else. But at the same time, she was learning her own language. So that phone call never repeated again, because I could never get the guy again, because he never answered the machine. And it was a one-time conversation. But that didn't stop her from getting involved with other scientists or researchers.
Other
that
notables.
That type of
I would bet that in the back of that guy's mind, he to this day, he has not forgotten that conversation, and he may have even incorporated some of the insights that she gave him into some of his, well, maybe possibles that he puts out. These people are they're really egomaniacs, a lot of them, and I'm not being mean. They are.
It's true. They're perceptually handicapped in a priesthood that is defining what is reality and what is not for the rest of us, and they're
gods. They're demigods,
right,
in their own mind.
Right.
Yeah.
And she would decapitate that, because she knew that we were all gods with amnesia. But I want to read an acknowledgement that I did find on the internet, because I was trying to find kind of the highlight of her career back when I was dealing with her. Was she was looking at what was going on on Mars, and an acknowledgement that's on the website. It's actually Hoagland's website, and she was dealing with Hoagland and looking at Mars for him in a completely different way.
That's Richard.
Nobody knows that.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, nobody knows that whole thing.
And Richard didn't go out of his way to mention her either, did he?
No, this came later. But on this particular website, it says the following. The author wishes to extend deep appreciation to Colonel Tom Bearden, U.S. Army, retired, for his many years of historical research and technical analysis, which have made key aspects of this proposed possible. Also, to Marianne Shenefield for her long collaboration in exploring practical applications of James Clerk Maxwell's pioneering interest in hyperdimensional consciousness, and to Rhonda Eklund for discovering Maxwell's original hyperdimensional poetry. And that was where her real love was, is dealing with that type of stuff. at the very end when I was dealing with her towards the end, because she knew that there was multiple dimensions, and she knew how the craft were coming in and out of our field of vision, and that they were interdimensional travelers, essentially, and that the human body to the aliens was an informational light source that she told me that the extraterrestrials could track anybody on Earth because they could track the genetic information. That's
their profile, their code,
somebody.
Of course. Yes, we're all genetically individual, and they could read that because we're electronic in a sense. We're send and receive, and they could pick it right up. I can understand that. It's kind of humorous because Richard Hoagland has done some great work. But this, he must have been mind blown by this woman. And everyone out there is listening. Well, what did she say about Mars? What did she say about Mars? So what was her take on what was going on? What did she reveal about Mars?
She knew that it had been occupied and was being occupied, not in a long term thing, but there was a craft landing on there, and she could see it quite easily, actually. She preferred looking into space than looking into her own living room. I remember her saying that, but, when I was talking to her, I always said, is it easier to look inside a cell, like a small, tiny cell, of water, or is it easier to look in space? And she said space, because it actually relieved a lot of, tension in her body to do that, actually.
I understand what you're saying. That makes perfect sense. May I say something? She was like it or not, she was a cosmic mind, a cosmic soul, as much as you're going to get in the human life form. That woman was just incredible from what you've described.
I knew at that time that there was nobody else like her on Earth. Nobody. And I looked into a lot of the cases, and there was nothing like this. I think she was chosen specifically as an experiment so that a human being could learn the extraterrestrial language. And she was very angry a lot of the time because she was alone. She'd often say when she started drinking, she was, they did this to me, and, you know, blank, 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 blank. Mm-hmm. very angry
sure.
about it. But,
well, understandable. Sure.
The ETs gave her a piece of information, though, that to this day is involved with my career. And that was the information that she and Baharaj discovered through her contacts about future technologies that humans would use with hydrogen and water. And that all came true. And known today as a low energy nuclear reaction, that was prophesized by her and Baharaj in ET contacts. And that all has come to be. And now that is the most practical solution and cheapest solution for abundant energy. And only reason I'm involved with that is because of her and Baharaj. I don't tell all the science guys that I know that, and I don't talk about it out in the field, but that's the truth, because she told me that water is very, very important and specific, because she looked inside of water, and she said that there's all the energy that we need for everything is in the water. And about a year ago, year and a half ago, I mean, when Baharaj was relaying information to her, she was relaying it to me, and then I'd relay something back to her, and then Baharaj would get back in a week or whatever. I heard later that he was videotaping him talking about future energy sources because of water. But it was never documented. I just heard about it. And then a year and a half, I found Baharaj's videos where he was talking about that. And I went, oh my God, there it is. There it is. And now today we're on the brink of that. coming out and overlaying our problems that we have here. And that came, she knew about it. She knew about it entirely. It was like, yeah, we're going to do this, and we're going to do this, and we're going to do this. But she was very religious. She told me specifically about what religion was and what the Christ frequency actually is. I was initially, when she asked me to say those mantras before we did any work, it was because the specific language having to do with the Christ frequency is very specific. It's a unique signature amongst the planet. It's a psychic signature. She said that she told me that the Christ frequency, because I'm not a super religious guy, but my church is, I go to church every day in life. That's where the
Understood.
Church is. It's not inside yeah. a building, if you know, if you get my drift.
Of course.
And she said that certain frequencies of certain people that have been here on this planet, many of them, left psychic signatures that are embedded, or we can access for certain things.
And oh, interesting.
Whenever whenever we would do any hyperspace quantum action, psychokinesis, she mm-hmm. would always make sure that we were, you know, prepped and ready to go and protected. Because she said, when you mentally jump into hyper, she called it just hyper, and go into other dimensions, you need protection so that you are identified, because you're going to be identified by another civilization, she said. So when she was doing this with various people, myself mostly, but she'd say she'd require that all the time. And she goes, people have got a completely wrong interpretation of religion entirely. And she says the spoken word of religion is the most important part, the person actually speaking about it. Because the moment you start speaking about Buddha or Krishna or Christ or whatever, and the vocal patterns, the breath, the vocal patterns, the blood, the sound, the intent, and the person's genetic signature all send a signal out to these ETs. That's what she said. And she had to learn it the hard way, through lots of trial and error. And
they just kind of turned her loose with this incredible gift slash burden. Go to it, kid.
Yes, they did. They did. Because I was always jealous, because I said, how come you never called them for me? Meaning, you know, how come you won't call them and have them show up at my house? And she'd always do this like as a gift. So one day after my birthday, she said, later in the week, you're going to see him. And I was out in Joshua Tree.
Yeah.
And she said, it's going to be this week. I'm going to line it up. And I didn't believe her. I think that I thought, nah, this isn't going to happen. Because at that particular point, I was dealing with a lot of her problems that she was having with filmmakers and book people. And she was real pain to deal with, because she was very controlling about what information was going to get out. So I was like distraught and stressed out by the situation. So I hung up, and then days pass. I'm in Joshua Tree, and then it happened. I saw a whole pot of them. And she was absolutely right. I called her like 15 minutes later, and she goes, you're welcome. She says, that's the first thing she said, you're welcome. Just like that. and a pod of them, it was totally different looking than I'd ever seen. It was
okay, nighttime,
like,
let's set it up. Nighttime, daytime, where are we? Nighttime, daytime.
Nighttime. It was okay. A nighttime out right. in Joshua Tree, and six of them showed up. All flying parallel in formation, and I thought, well, as soon as I saw it, I said, "Is something wrong with my eyes? Is thing. It was like, there's something wrong with my eyes. And then when I looked closely, it looked like the air or the clouds around the physical structure were spinning around, creating like a spiral. So it looked like six spirals showed up that were changing the formation of all the area around the sky when I saw them. Totally silent. I thought they were going to come really close, but I couldn't tell depth of field vision if they were really far or close, but it almost looked like I could almost come out and touch them. And I knew it was coming from her. I knew it was coming from her, and I expected what I wanted, like, you know, come on over. I want to see you for real. And, of course, that didn't happen, but they made a very spectacular entrance, and that was one of the highlights of my life, actually, is when she did that for me. It changed me forever.
That is quite a gift. Quite a gift. Do you have recordings of her voice? Not surreptitious recordings. Did you ever just say, well, we're going to record this conversation with scientist X, Y, or Z? Did you ever do that?
I think she did. And she kept it because she was the one. She had that, and she also inherited all of Perharch's works. And she had VHS tapes and audio that I know about. But I don't know who has them now. Her daughter may have inherited them because she was told me, she was, I'm going to get Perharch's original Faraday cage and all his writings and the contacts and the original work that didn't get published in Uri's books and this and this and this, because he had just published the Iceland papers, which he did some of the research on for telepathy. It's interesting how she described telepathy.
Tell me.
Very interesting, actually. Well, she said that it was instantaneous light between two beings that was misinterpreted as thought. She said that identifying a telepathic message is often overlooked because people assume that their internal dialogue is their voice talking rather than somebody else sending a signal to them that they're being...
That's very interesting. So we disallow it because it just doesn't fit with our normal day-to-day paradigm. Okay.
Correct. Yeah. And the Iceland papers were written by Perharch. I think that's one of his books that are out there. And he sent me a copy of that and signed it to me. And I was very happy to get that from him and talk with Perharch and her over the phone, which was
very nice.
I didn't do that too many times, but he knew exactly who she was. She was really, she could have been if she wanted to be. She didn't want to get into like heavy psychic warfare. She would rather do the research for it. But she could have been used and weaponized quite easily. I know Uri was doing that type of work in terms of using telepathy as a means to enter in peace agreements. And Marianne used to laugh at that. She goes, that's so easy. She goes, that's so easy. I can do that all the time. How could they not call me? She'd always
what a character.
Talk like that.
Wow.
Yeah, because she was an Italian woman that was really feisty, very disciplined, but also lived an incredible amount of frustration dealing with that. And she'd her goals were to work with animals and to work with scientists. But we had problems dealing with scientists because they just, you know, they've decided what it is, and you don't know anything. And that's just the way it is.
I know.
But
that's sad.
The key, though, when Walter Boert and I and John Mack all discussed, we found out, and she basically confirmed the notion that these abductions were being faked. And she was very interested in how hypnosis worked. Ed Walter explained how that was, because she was telling me and him that it's impossible that they could be pulling this off. And he goes, what if they were using an electronic hypnosis to get these people into altered states and then come in and use dummies, drugs, post-hypnotic suggestions, et cetera, to create false memories? Because he was very interested in how they created these false dialogues of abduction, as was she. So they communicated quite a bit.
Hold on. False dialogues of abduction. Are we talking about con artists here, or are we talking about people who are simply misunderstanding?
No, we're talking about targeting a person and creating that scenario so they make us think like they're abducted by aliens. And then using that as a tool for disinformation.
Casts a shadow over a very wide array of of information that is accepted by many people as being gospel. But in point of fact, it was obviously disinformation. Huh.
Total. Yeah, and Walter knew that, and we know that wasn't a popular thing at that time. But he was trying to determine, both of us were, the how much hypnosis is necessary and what type of hypnosis, and is that hypnosis amplified through electronic means and drugs, specific drugs, actually, that he was trying to get her to look at the structures of those drugs. One of them, I forgot the name of it, CIA uses it, and I know it's used for surgery, but it's used to, I forgot the name of it, but it's basically designed so that if you have surgery, the trauma of the surgery on the body, it misses that in the memory, so it's like covered up. So there's like a missing event, and it allows the body to heal up quicker. And I forgot the name
time.
Of that.
Yeah, funny.
That
works too, but yeah. Okay, I get it. And there is a drug. I don't know what it is, but I know what you're talking about. I've heard about it.
The Operation Mind Control Volume 2 has some of those findings, and one of the secret contributors to that was Marianne Chenefield. And she was, I have to say, one in a billion people.
One in 7.5 billion. Okay.
Exactly.
This is. Let me just do a few quickies here. You mentioned earlier the moon. What's going on the moon? Now, most of us who are serious about what's happening around us and avail ourselves of real information and videos, we have videos of things flying across the moon's surface, for goodness sakes. So, what's going on up there? What did you remember from her conversation?
She knew it was a structure. She knew that it was the center of it had beams inside. She could see the beams on the moon. She said it was like an airport. She said there's a lot of traffic.
Enormous
amounts of traffic. She could see it quite clearly. But she said that the it's coordinated traffic, and it's coordinated because of the location and location in space that it is. She said, interpreted and said that it has to do with geometries and the certain location of where it is, where it sits, is very specific. If it were moved around or changed, it would screw up everything, not only with communications, but everything on the planet. And she said that, the moon is, related to and has a specific relationship to our genetics. That's what she said. Our how we communicate in our genes is related to the structure of the moon and the cycles and how it
and
relates
the planets.
To the mm-hmm. Oh yeah. Yep.
We're absolutely talking astrology here.
Mm-hmm. She would call it that. She would separate herself from anything that was new age woo woo. She didn't didn't want to get anywhere near that. So, you know, she turned down most things that she was invited to speak
at. But in point of fact, astrology exists. It is real.
Yeah.
But it's been commercialized, hyped, stolen, co-opted, and abused by so many people that she wanted nothing to do with it. Okay,
I get it. Yeah, nothing to do with it. I mean, she put Betty Hill on the phone with me, and she said, I want to introduce you to somebody, and she calls me up, and then we do a three-way over the phone, and both her experiences are completely, totally different. And she said that the actual contactee, if they really were contacted, they'd go through biological and psychic mental transformation. And a lot of the stuff that you're seeing out there, that wasn't happening. She didn't see that. And Betty asked me a lot of different questions. And because the reason I was talking to her for so long, it wasn't that I keep wanting to get more information. She was calling me, and we were actually working and doing stuff. I am scheduled to meet one of those people that we worked on, who is a very, very, very successful person in the sports world, that we did work for before he became very successful, because we did all the projecting, psychic input, post suggestion, altering of his consciousness during the beginning of his career. And most people, I'm not going to say his name, but after I speak with him in person, he doesn't know me, but I was on the phone with all of this stuff when it was going on. I mean, she had John Denver calling, that guy we can talk about. There's another guy that's still alive that is going to have to be confronted, because she'd also tell when all the spies were calling. She could tell who were spies. She could tell who was lying over the phone. She could tell all that.
Understood.
She would break conversations and get very pissed off at any military, anything that would threaten her with anything whatsoever. And there is a story that's Dan Shenefield would talk about, how she blew up a transformer. She got so angry at somebody that she threw up a power transformer near her home because of some person that was just pushing too hard and probing too much. So she was very angry. And then when that happened, a lot of psychokinetic events took place, and she had a big temper, huge temper that she had to calm down with, hence the need for...
Well, she had to anesthetize... Anesthetize that pain, and that it's like a raw nerve. I understand what you're saying. So sure, she'd have to give her own self anesthesia, and that's alcohol, among other things.
Precisely.
Understood.
Precisely. I
mean, all right. Go ahead.
Today, if she were alive today, based upon what we know that's going on right now, I would get together with her, couple other close people that can handle it, and we would I don't want to use the word warfare, but we would alter some key people out there that you know about. We would alter their futures for the benefit of everybody, because I was thinking about that this morning. I was thinking, God, if she was still alive, who would we target, and how would we do it? Because of you know what's unfolding right now, and if she were alive today, she'd be mortified, absolutely mortified, and be very angry, and she would be using the ETs and other people to alter thought structures of people.
Well, we need if we're going to get through this, and we all know what's planned and what's being deployed. We need intervention. We need help.
We need
leadership. We need guidance. We can't do it. We can't do it ourselves. We just don't have that ability. She understood that. She had it, obviously. And, yes, mortified, I'll bet she would be. I'll bet she would be enraged. Absolutely.
Oh, absolutely enraged. And if she appeared when the disclosure... closure thing happened in D.C. with Greer and company. If she showed up for that, the whole thing would have been different. Guaranteed. Guaranteed. I tried very, very hard to get her book published and to get a movie. I almost got the movie done. I had a deal structured with Lifetime. She really didn't have a clue how the movie business worked, but I went through tons of producers, and every producer wanted her story, and they're all trying to sign her rights and this and that and so forth. But finally, we got a deal because I told her, you know, it's going to take 8 or 9 years if you want a big picture to come out, and you got to get attachment to the whole process. She didn't understand that. But a quicker thing was we would have had to deal with a Lifetime movie, a TV movie. And we negotiated, and then she turned that down. After all of that, I kind of bowed out because I spent an enormous amount of time and effort doing that, and her health was kind of failing. But what I do know now is because I found somebody that is going to be writing her book and is actually going to be doing a film, and I was kind of asked to participate in some of the contents of that for when it comes out. Because
how could they do it without you, James? I mean, seriously, anybody who's honestly involved with the story could not exclude you. You would be invaluable.
I was so lucky to have seen her face-to-face a number of times in Agawam, but have spent years on the phone learning to visualize better, because she said people do not know the power of colors at all and what is in colors. You know, people say individuals have auras, true, and they say it's green or red or this, but they don't know and don't understand the structures of the colors and what the colors can do in
wavelengths.
Terms of wavelengths.
Sure. It's all wavelengths.
She said said if somebody visualizes their future in a dark green, it's going to, and they repeat it over and over again, it's going to turn out different than if they visualize it in a light green. And she knew that we were a limited capacity brain that had been done on purpose. She knew that, you know, our situation and evolution was being held up on purpose.
Oh, we've run into a brick wall. We're not being, do you see, and do any of you out there listening see a mass enlightenment on this planet now? No, we've been turned in the other direction,
this is,
tragically. This is bad.
The critical stage where the ascension process has to take place. It's do or die.
Okay, would you come back another time? I'd love to explore further, if you would, and think about it.
No, I'd be happy to anytime.
Invitation is... Thank you. The invitation is there. Just a couple quickies. We've talked just a bit about Mars and the Moon. ETs. Ha. All right. Some are interdimensional. Some are not interdimensional. They're our dimensional. Some live on the planet. Where do they usually hang out? Did she ever get to that? Do they live on the Earth, in the Earth, under the Earth, around the Earth, or are they just basically visiting here and maybe staging at the Moon, whatever?
She said that there's multiple species, but she says they're I don't want to say the word skill sets, but their evolution, there is differences between the evolution of some species and the other species.
Sure.
And
mm-hmm.
she dealt with the ones that dealt with structure, frequency, color, sound, and frequency bandwidth that had different type of physical body entirely. They weren't humanoid. So
they evolved beyond that. They've gotten beyond the physical corporeal stuff.
Okay. That's correct. Yeah, and there are groups like that. And she says they're the ones that are the ones that are really running the show. They're the most advanced. And she said that communicating with them is not. She said it's like finding something on a map. You'd have to pull out a protractor, get on the right angle, get on the right day, get on the right moment, get on the right frequency before you can even connect with them. And this was her
very
saying
advanced,
that.
Very advanced.
Very advanced.
I understand.
Very advanced,
now, so
yeah.
when we deal with the world of ET, we all need to keep in mind that there are different evolutionary stages that we are seeing being manifested in the skies above us or on the ground, parked, whatever. They're not all the same. They're different advanced species, and that's hard for people to deal with.
Yeah, because we've been lied to again and
brainwashed, dumbed down, programmed.
Yeah,
oh, yeah.
Yeah.
And now everybody's talking about now, James, what are they talking about? Oh, in June, they're going to release a paper and the cover up will be over and on and on and on. My God,
yeah,
if you can't think and figure this out, it absolutely means nothing. Nothing. We're just a captive audience.
That, yeah. She would say that certain people, some do, some are not ready to even comprehend or even deal with the reality of it, for starters.
Right. Right.
But she said that there's no saviors coming, and we have to save ourselves.
Mm-hmm.
And this is part of our evolution to remember who we are, why we're here, and that we're divine beings, and that we're eternal, and that we're related to other extraterrestrials, and mm-hmm. that we have to get off our knees. That they're not coming to help. They're not.
No, they're not coming here to watch.
They can,
and record, yeah. perhaps observe. But I understand that, and we. Oh man, are we being driven to our knees right now?
Yeah.
We see it every day. Take your shot. Wear your mask. If that isn't on your knees, I don't know what is. And it's sickening
right.
to see. We have so much mm-hmm. potential, James, and it's for one reason or another, the controllers, the globalists, the elite, the Illuminati, whatever, they've got our number, and I'm talking about our number, and they've subverted us and hegemonized us, and we are on our knees. I'm not, you're not, but and you people listening aren't, but the masses tend to be utterly subservient. They've lost the ability to be proactive.
Yeah, Marianne used to tell me that the military and the people that are covering and controlling all this really aren't qualified to even interface with this because the military is it's a war making body. I mean, that's what it's there for. And though they may have the money and the means to control information, she said they're often the worst people to interface with advanced intelligence.
They're killers.
They're the worst. Yeah, that's right. That's right. And she knew it, and she'd have third-party conversations on mm-hmm. the phone when she knew people were listening because she could see them. And she could, uh-huh. and she'd get really pissed off. She uh-huh. says, get off mm-hmm. the phone, da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da, and start cursing and yelling at them. And you could hear of the phone that they were interfering with her because they're in gathering information. But they really wanted to see if her skills could be synthesized.
Weaponized.
Weaponized, exactly. Exactly, there you go. That's it.
Okay.
And she wasn't going to cow down to them.
No. I don't hear that at all. No way. Last important question. How did she express her views, her feelings about life and immortality and what we call death? She's gone now. But where did she go?
Oh, she
what are your
knew
thoughts?
That we're gods with amnesia. She knew this. And she knew that...
gods with amnesia on this planet during this lifetime. We can't mm-hmm. remember.
We can't remember. Can't mm-hmm. remember. And I've got all sorts of perceptual handicaps and disabilities that we're trying to work out. But she said, ultimately, we're part of the Godhead. We're sovereign. We have free will. We are divine. And we barely use any of our power at all. She said if she had the ability and time, she could have got 50 people together with the right psychic skill set, and she could have changed the entire world with that. I remember her telling me about that people have way more power than they think. I mean, you hear the words, the power of prayer. That's a very soft way of saying concentrated telepathy into the universe, in the universe responding. She would explain in new in-depth detail what the Egyptians were doing, because she looked at the language and learned the language itself. And I was taught some of it, and some of it's been stolen and is being utilized by somebody else that I know out there that I'll eventually confront. Developed a system she was going to teach called DSA, the Development of Spectrum Analysis, which was a program she was going to offer to people to learn about color, structure, frequency, and language, and how it affects fellow human beings.
Everything.
Everything. Yeah. It's very great privilege to work with a mind like that. It was like being able to work with like a Nobel Prize winner or something. But this was like completely out of this world. I mean, she was talking with people about vector math without having any training in physics or anything, and could carry on a conversation with different people. And I didn't even understand vector math, but when I told Bord about that, he goes, what? She can understand vector math? Get her on the phone. And then he did record her, though. I do remember hearing about that, that he got permission to record her, because he understood, because he adjusted his T-bar, which is the aspect of the brain that handles synchronizes both hemispheres. And he was witness, and that the part two of Operation Mind Control goes into the part of the whole UFO issue, and she was a contributor to that. And I kept her secret because I knew she was private. I knew that she was way, way past everybody, because she was never really utilized to the best of what I thought she was capable of, because of personal problems that she had, timing. She had all sorts of health problems, because she would have been perfect over at MIT. That's where she should have been, somewhere like that. Physics department would have been a perfect place for her to land. But we always had problems. We have problems with our education. Isn't really educational, because it's most of it's obsolete.
Do you think that in that first experience with the visitors when she was 11, somehow there's supposedly a governor on our brain? You mentioned we've got this amnesia problem, and I certainly agree with that. Did they take her brain and just switch it on? Did they take the governor off and then allow her to be part and parcel of their interdimensional intelligence, their communications, their thoughts, everything? Did they let her have access to that? Is that what... And I asked you that earlier.
Yeah, that's what happened. That's exactly what happened. And it was the second. It was the second contact case where they said that they touched her hand, and then they put their hand on top of her head. Because of that, she had one time where she restored full vision back to normal, and then it was gone again. And she thought that they were responsible for doing that, but she said that they put their hand on her head. And I asked her, I said, so what was that for? Did you feel anything? What happened? And she goes, no. She said she was terrified because of the feeling of the hand, the way it felt on her head. It was non-human, so...
I particularly like what you said and her obvious disdain for hustlers and con artists and frauds. That speaks of an incredible morality that probably is so far beyond morality as we commonly know it that it's not funny. That's a very unique and incredible situation to be in. But I really like what you said, and wish I'd had a chance to talk to her. Even if she yelled and screamed, I couldn't care. That would have been fun.
Yeah.
Thank you, James, very much for sharing that. That was just truly extraordinary, inspiring, and enlightening, and lots of other things. Somebody just sent me an email the other day, and it had to do with all... They sent me a bunch of different pictures of color spectra and other things, wavelengths, and they said it's all... I wish that person, I hope they're listening, they can send it to me again. It was all about wavelength and color. That's what you said.
There
what
you
she
go.
Said.
The Colors in the yeah. Dark was the title of her book.
Great title. All right, my friend, thank you for being on again. Think about what you want to talk about next time. We'll do it whenever you're ready.
You bet. All right. Thanks so much, Jeff. Take care.
Okay. All right. Good night.
Good night.
Well, what can I say? It's all been said. And there it is. I'm very much indebted to James. Have a good weekend. Thanks for being here, and we'll talk soon.